Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It's that time, Free for All Friday. It's that time, Free for All Friday. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. It's Free for All Friday. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk apologetics and theology. On Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today, I want to talk about musicals. And I want to talk about musicals because I really like them. It's a form of art that I enjoy both watching and being in, but I haven't been in a musical in a really long time. So I was a theater kid, shocker, I guess, in elementary, middle school, and high school. Always really enjoyed drama. I was never like a star of the show or anything like that. I never really had a lead role. I had a lot of fun supporting roles in a wide variety of productions. I really enjoyed playing the villain whenever I got the chance to do that, because a hero is really only as good as his villain. And you, when you're the villain, you really get to ham it up. And it's just a lot of fun. So I did that, and I have done a few musicals. So we did Bye Bye Birdie, if any of you know that one. I also did another musical when I was in community theater called, and it's not an adult film, even though it sounds like it. It's called Once Upon a Mattress. Though it is a musical based on the story of the Princess and the Pea. Yeah, I don't know how they, I mean, I barely remember it. This was probably like, oh my goodness, 15, 16 years ago I was in that. I was just straight out of college. So it was a mixture of college students and high school students working together in a community theater production. Princess and the Pea is the one where the princess has to sleep on 40 mattresses and see if she can feel a pea underneath it or something. I don't know. So I was in some musicals, and it's just a lot of fun. It's fun just to be able to be on stage and dance and sing and really express things through song that you can't express in any other way. And so I appreciate that in musicals. I know musicals are not everybody's cup of tea, though if you say I don't like musicals, that's kind of like saying I don't like sports. Like, there's a wide variety of different musical genres that are out there. So maybe you've seen some musicals and you're not a big fan. There's a wide variety of them out there. There might be one that you actually like, just like there's a whole lot of different sports. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about just the elements in musicals that I enjoy. And in the meantime, I'll share with you some of my favorite musicals. Now, there's some musicals that I really like that I might not be able to mention, given the time and space constraints that we have. So if I don't mention a particular musical, don't take that to mean Trent doesn't like that musical. Also, I will mention certain musicals, and I like them, even though they may have morally offensive elements to them. This is a real, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's a difficulty for Catholics who want to enjoy the arts, especially if you want to get out of your Catholic bubble and look at literature, playwrights, films, and appreciate the art as art, knowing that there are many, some of the most talented artists in the world are not Catholic or they're not even Christian. So they could have really beautiful works of art that do have morally offensive elements in them. So if I reference a musical and it has something that's morally offensive in it, that doesn't mean I endorse everything in the musical. I'm in a place where I think there's a lot of work. So there's some works of art that I won't watch if I feel like it's pornographic or gratuitous in its violence and it lacks artistic integrity, then I just won't watch it. But there are other scenes where I'll watch them, and even things like nudity can be done in a tasteful way. If you say, oh, I'm not going to ever watch anything that has nudity in it, well, I don't know how you would ever go to the Sistine Chapel, because it's covered with nude images that Michelangelo painted on the Sistine Chapel. So that being said, those are just my caveats. If I don't mention a musical, it doesn't mean I don't like it. If I do mention a musical, it doesn't mean I like everything that is in it. You have to use discernment. And for you, if you're trying to discern what you can, you can't watch, just take stock of your own personal inventory of the stumbling blocks you have in watching cinema, things like that. So let's talk about musicals then. Where do they come from? They really go all the way back to ancient Greece. You know, in ancient Greek playwrights and tragedies and dramas, they would do plays, and they would often combine music and singing, but it wasn't like the stage musicals that we have today. The next development in musical would probably be the opera. So modern musicals are kind of a derivative of an operetta, which is a type of art that imitates or sometimes even parodies the opera. And actually, I love operas too, but to go, I love operas in the same sense that I enjoy fine wine. I know that it's really good, but sometimes it's an acquired taste. So the first opera I ever saw was Coppelia. It's a Russian opera. I think it's about like a carpenter who builds a robot daughter. So it's kind of like that old 1980s show, Small Wonder. So it's, if I had to connect the dots there. But I appreciate operas, but I like musicals a lot more. I like not having to, you know, a lot of operas are usually sung in a foreign language. So you have to follow along with the story, but they're beautiful. The most beautiful vocal work you'll ever hear is probably in classical operas. I like musicals, ones that are in English, because it's just easier to enter into the story and just have a rousing good time. So when you get into the 20th century, that's when you start getting musicals, the traditional stage musicals, large, elaborate productions. But usually there's a paper-thin story that's just meant to connect the different dance production numbers. So it was really just an excuse to show off large dancing numbers and things like that. It didn't focus on the story as much, or it was kind of paper-thin or really stereotypical characters. The last time I went to Broadway, which was probably about 10 years ago, I saw a Broadway original called The Drowsy Chaperone, which is a parody of these old kind of 1920s and 1930s musicals. The era of the modern musical that you would recognize, like if I say a musical and you think of the typical elements that go into it, would probably be Rodgers and Hammerstein, those musicals from the 1940s and the 1950s. So the Sound of Music would probably be the traditional musical that you'd be thinking of. Though the first one before that that really got the genre going, I would say, would be Oklahoma. Oklahoma. And I don't know the rest of the words of the song, but I'm sure I have relatives that live in Oklahoma, so I bet they know them. And then that started to pick up in the 40s and 50s, having these stage musical numbers. And then with the advent of film and better audio recording technology and dubbing technology, you have in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, more the advent of the genre of the film musical. A funny example of this would be the musical Paint Your Wagon. So this was originally a stage musical by Lerner and Lowe, I believe, in the 1950s. And then it was remade into a film musical in 1969, starring Clint Eastwood. So, and he sings. He actually sings in it. Here's a clip from Paint Your Wagon. We think of Clint Eastwood, Make My Day. You know, we think Dirty Harry. We think of this tough guy with a gun. You just got to ask yourself one question. And he's always like really squinting. I love it. So here's Clint Eastwood in Paint Your Wagon. And this is the song I Talk to Trees. It actually does a pretty decent job.
But suddenly my words reach someone else's ear. Touch someone else's heartstrings too.
Good for you, Clint Eastwood. He still brings all of his Clint Eastwood gravitas, even when he's singing to trees in Paint Your Wagon. By the way, Paint Your Wagon shows up in an episode of The Simpsons, in one of the opening gags where Homer and Bart come back from the video store and they were going to rent a movie. And I think Lisa wanted them to rent Emma. Instead, they rent what they think is a bloody Western shootout movie. And it's Paint Your Wagon. So here's how they reference it in the clip.
So prepare yourself for the bloody mayhem and unholy carnage of Joshua Logan's Paint Your Wagon.
With blood, I bet.
Hey! That's a pretty sorry looking wagon you got there, mister.
I reckon it could use a coat of paint.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Gonna paint our wagon, gonna paint it good. We ain't bragging, we're gonna coat that wood.
They're singing!
They're singing, Marge. Why aren't they killing each other?
Yeah, their guns are right there.
So I love watching The Simpsons now because when I was a kid, I just thought this was funny. I didn't catch all the references. So now that I'm older, it's really fun to catch the references. Or when I see something in The Simpsons, it's like, oh, I better go look that up because I bet they're purposely referencing something. And then that's how you learn about popular culture, I suppose. All right, let's go into some of the elements of musicals. Let me talk about some common elements in the songs, and in that you can see where it shows up in certain popular musicals. One of them, I mean, basically, people have categorized the songs and musicals in different ways. The most basic way to categorize them is a three-part element. The song is either an I want song, an I am song, or something new. I know that sounds like a lazy way to categorize it, but if you put it together, the character is either singing about something that they want, or they're singing about something that they are, or there's some new element in the story that they're just trying to throw in, maybe to add a little bit of levity. I've heard G. Officer Krupke from West Side Story be an example of one of these ancillary songs. But the I Want songs really serve as a way to highlight the protagonist's motivations in the musical. A classic example of this would be from The Sound of Music, the 1965 musical, the song I Have Confidence, which interestingly enough was not a song that was in the original stage production of The Sound of Music. If we fast forward a little bit, another 20 years, you'd probably get the most famous I Want song in modern musicals, and that'd be from The Little Mermaid, when Ariel is singing under the sea, and she literally sings, I want to be where the people are, laughing, singing, and dancing. And so this is a literal I want song, like, this is what I want. And it also ushers in the age here in, it was The Little Mermaid, like 1989, was the beginning of the Disney Renaissance. So prior to that, when you looked if in the 1970s and 80s, Disney films were not these grand spectacles. You had movies like Robin Hood, The Aristocats, The Great Mouse Detective, which in their own respects are all actually pretty decent movies. Don't talk about The Black Cauldron. That was a absolutely horrible movie that almost killed Disney in the 80s. But it kind of lost the magic that Disney had previously had in the Golden Age, and you had things like Pinocchio, Fantasia, even in the Silver Age, and you had stuff like Alice in Wonderland and some of these, you know, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty. The stories moved away from fairy tales, and it wasn't until the late 80s, really in the 1990s, that you saw Disney return to its not just its fairy tale roots, because obviously like Lion King is kind of more based on Shakespeare than fairy tales, but incorporating large musical elements and creating their movies so that they would easily transition towards being Broadway plays. And many of them have been turned into Broadway plays, like The Lion King, for example. I'm pretty sure Little Mermaid is, I know it's been a stage production. I know it was actually, there was a disastrous live TV musical adaptation of The Little Mermaid. And I think Shaggy was Sebastian, and it's just bad. It's just so bad. But these Disney movies really leaned heavily into the Broadway elements to make them full-blown musicals. And a lot of them combine the I Want song with an element called the Stroll Through Town as a way to not just understand the protagonist's motivations, but to understand the setting and what they're up against within the setting. So it's all done very efficiently when it can be done in one song. A famous example of this would be Belle's song, This Little Town, or Little Town in Beauty and the Beast, that we learn who Belle is, that she wants more than living in this little town. And then we learn about the town because they don't understand this bookworm like Belle. And we also get to understand the motivations of Gaston, who is the meat-headed antagonist of the story. That he wants to marry Belle. He wants more than the other floozies that are in town. So all of it is artfully seamed together here in this one song in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, no.
You take me.
You call this babe.
What hurt me?
Take yours.
Excuse me.
I will get you.
Please let me through.
So literally, it's a stroll through town, and we're hearing all the hustle and bustle, and people are caught up in their lives and not in the bigger things. Belle is the only one reading a book.
There must be more than this provincial life.
Just watch, I'm going to make Belle my wife.
There she goes, a girl who's strange but special, a most peculiar mademoiselle.
So that's a famous example in Beauty and the Beast. Another one that I'll just briefly talk about is in A Goofy Movie. This is actually a highly underrated Disney musical. We think about Disney musicals, Little Mermaid is going to come up. People will think of Aladdin, you know, with very famous songs. This is a very underappreciated movie, and it's structured very well. There's even another video on YouTube that talks about why you love the Goofy movie so much, that it's actually a very well-structured musical. And one of the songs in it is an I Want song and the Stroll Through Town mixed together perfectly, called After Today, where you learn about the students at the high school where the protagonist goes, Max, who is the son of Goofy, and you learn what he wants. So he just wants to impress his female classmate, Roxanne, by dressing up and doing this big song and dance number to impress her. So check it out, a Goofy movie. I think you won't be disappointed. Another music I want to talk about related to the I Want songs is I love when the I Want songs are of the genre I want to fight, like when you want to summon up the courage to face an insurmountable obstacle. And I am just a sucker for these every time because it makes me a little teary, like, yeah, you can overcome this obstacle. You can do it. Everybody join in. Let's sing and we can beat this thing. And a good example of that would be from Newsies. So Newsies was a Broadway production about a group of, I don't know when it's set, like in the 1920s probably, I think set in the 20s, of newspaper boys who are going on strike because they're being mistreated by the newspaper that employs them. And so it's really a musical about labor disputes, 1920s labor politics, starring, you know, with these kids who are the newspaper boys. And it's good, but I do like a lot of the original Broadway numbers a little bit better. And one of these I Want to Fight songs would be Seize the Day. This is a recording of it being done at King's Academy. I don't know what this, I'm sure it's some kind of drama school or something like that. But it has some elements where they're getting ready to fight and to go on strike against the newspaper company that's been exploiting them. And it includes some very powerful lyrics that you don't, I believe you don't find them in the Disney version. I haven't seen Disney Newsies in a very long time, so you can write in the comments if this is actually in the Disney film. Seize the Day is in the Disney film, but it's just more everyone's, you know, singing in front of a fountain. I don't remember the extended lyrics. But although I do appreciate that Christian Bale is in the Disney film version.
Crutchy, we gotta stop him.
you got Batman in there. But here is the longer version of Seize the Day in this King's Academy, where they're trying to rouse the courage to take on these the newspaper tyrants. It's just these humble newspaper boys. And so when it starts, they're singing, and then Crutchy, one of the newspaper boys who walks with a crutch, shows up, and he's got something ready for the big strike. He's got a homemade sign that looks awful.
Oh, hey, Jack, look what I made.
Good, huh?
Strike!
Wow, that's great.
Hey.
That is pitiful.
Hey, Specs, any sign of reinforcements?
And he shakes his head no.
Courage cannot erase our fear. Courage is when we face our fear. Tell those with power, safe in their tower, we will not obey.
Courage cannot erase our fears. Courage is when we face our fears. Courage is not about being fearless. It's about doing what's right when you're afraid. You know, tell those in power, safe in their tower, we will not obey. Yes, let's get our newspapers together and let's fight. And then I love that everyone starts to slowly join in.
Behold the brave battalion that stands side by side. Too few in number and too proud to hide. Then say to the others who did not follow through, you're still our brothers. And we will fight for you.
Then it starts to build. And then we're getting ready. We're going to build the crescendo.
Now is the time to seize the day. Stare down the odds and
seize
the day. Once we begun.
Somehow, and a prayer becomes a vow.
like though in the music, I think it was Broadway. I don't think it was the Disney one. It would be in the Broadway version. The other newsie comes in. He's got more of the accent. And the strike starts right damn now. And then they go into everything. So I love the I want songs in general. Then I want to fight. I want to oppose the antagonist. But another thing that's always nice in musicals is when they have that kind of playful dialogue. So sometimes you have these big numbers where the cast, I mean, you're suspending disbelief. They're supposed to be just with each other, but it's very clear they're singing for us, for our benefit. I love a musical when it's musicals, when it's artfully written and the characters are engaged with what could just be dialogue, could just be straight dialogue with each other, but is set to song. A good example of this would be Light My Candle in the movie, in the musical Rent. Rent is an interesting musical because it is based on the older opera La Vie Boheme about a bunch of struggling artists who are dying of tuberculosis. It's just transferred to like Greenwich Village in New York with struggling artists who are dying of AIDS. And so there are many elements in this that would be morally offensive, but the songs are just really good. And this is a exchange between Roger, a washed up musician who has AIDS, whose girlfriend has died of AIDS, and Mimi, who is a woman in his building who likes him, but Roger doesn't want to get involved with her because he doesn't want her dying of AIDS as well. And so she comes over. They don't have power in their building because they're so poor, and she has a candle and she blows it out and then knocks on his door asking him to light her candle. But to light her candle is also a metaphor for doing drugs together or having sex together. So as I said, not the most morally upright, but you can still appreciate the clever use of dialogue sung in this scene.
What do you forget?
Got a light.
I know you, you're shivering.
It's nothing, they turned off my heat, and I'm just a little weak on my feet. Would you light my candle?
Why don't you forget that stuff? You look like you're 16.
19, but I'm old for my age. I'm just born to be bad.
I once was born to be bad.
I love that part here where she says, I was born to be bad. He's like, I once was born to be bad. I was like you. And then my life became a complete train wreck. And he's trying to get Mimi to not go down that same path. And so the film version of Rent came out in the early 2000s. It had been on Broadway before that. They brought back a lot of the Broadway performers to do the original roles. So they did make substitutions. Idina Menzel is in this, you know, the woman from Frozen, and she has a wonderful voice, a very Broadway powerful voice. Rosario Dawson actually does a really good job in here as Mimi. I much prefer her to the Mimi from the original Rent production on Broadway, because the original Mimi on Broadway talks in a very breathy baby doll way. I'm like, and it's to me, it's supremely annoying. I don't like it. I think she handles it actually a lot more naturally than the old Mimi. If you disagree, you can leave a comment below, but I prefer her. So what I like about, I do like, you know, the big bombastic numbers, but I also like the quieter numbers in musicals where it's just the dialogue between two people, but it's sung in rhythm and you get to see these interesting aspects of their characters. Another one is a wonderful song from the musical Chicago. So Chicago was a play in the 1920s that was rewritten into a musical in the 1970s. And it's about this woman, Roxy Hart, who lives in 1920s Chicago. She marries this guy who's kind of a loser. She wants to be a big vaudeville performer. She cheats on him with a guy who's supposed to launch her career, and he doesn't. She ends up shooting him when she finds out that he's just been using her. And then she ends up on trial for his murder and tries to concoct a defense. And so the musical version, the film version, is very star-studded cast. Renee Zellweger is Roxy Hart. Velma is played by Catherine Zeta-Jones. Richard Gere does an excellent job as Billy Flynn, her defense attorney. And so there's one scene, one song called We Both Reach for the Gun, which is a playful dialogue between Flynn, you know, the defense attorney. He's at this press conference with Hart, with his client, And she starts talking, and he's like, shut up, dummy, that she's going to incriminate herself. And so he basically does the talking for her. And so in the musical number, it transforms, and they do a bunch of makeup on Zellweger, so she looks like a ventriloquist dummy. And the reporters all look like marionettes on strings. And Billy Flynn, the lawyer, is just giving them all his side of the story to put them on strings and tell the story his way. And so they all look and act like ventriloquist puppets or marionettes in this kind of playful dialogue with each other. It's done super well. So here, let me show you some of that.
I bet you want to know why I shot the bastard.
Shut up, dummy.
I love it. He pulls her back. He's like, shut up, dummy. And then we transition into the dream sequence, very common in musicals where you have something realistic. And then suddenly we go into a dream sequence where there can be dancers and all kinds of strange things to sing the important elements.
Mr. Billy Flynn in the press conference, right? Notice how his mouth never moves. Almost.
Where'd you come from?
Mississippi.
And your parents?
Very wealthy.
Where are they now?
6 feet under.
But she was granted one more star.
The convent of the Sacred Heart.
And so he's doing such a wonderful job singing his lines normally, and then he's basically feeding all of the lines to Zellweger, but he's acting like he's using a ventriloquist voice. And the makeup on her is just great, and her movements look so much like a ventriloquist dummy, it is kind of scary.
When'd you get here?
1920.
How old were you?
Don't remember.
Then what happened?
I met Amos and he stole my heart away.
So that's a good example of playful dialogue in the musical number, but it's not always playful. Sometimes it underscores a very important point in the plot or in character development. So let's take a look at my favorite example of a dialogue song, which comes from my favorite musical, and that is Les Mis or Les Miserables. So Les Miserables is based on the Victor Hugo novel. And the musical Les Mis, I would say, is one of the best depictions of the theme of the gospel I have ever seen, definitely in musical theater, and possibly in art itself. I know that's a lofty thing. That's a lofty thing. But the theme of the gospel, that we are condemned by law, but saved by grace, that simple theme is portrayed so well in Les Mis, so well. What do I mean by that? So to put it in a bit of a nutshell, Les Miserables is a story of Jean Valjean. He was caught stealing a loaf of bread, sentenced to 5 years hard labor, and sentenced to even more for trying to escape. He's finally let out on parole, but he can't get a job. So one night he's taken in by a kindly bishop, then he robs the bishop, and he's caught. He's about to go back to jail, and the bishop says, no, he wasn't robbing me. I gave those as a gift, and here's some silver candlesticks. And he tells Valjean, I have bought your soul for God, and now you belong to God. And Valjean realizes he has to die to his old self and become a new man, the new Jean Valjean. And so he becomes the owner of a factory. And through that, he meets a woman named Fantine, who is working there. And she's been driven into, now because she was fired from the factory through a misunderstanding, driven into prostitution to try to save her struggling daughter, Cosette, who's being watched over by these evil innkeepers, the Thénardiers. And she ends up dying, and Valjean promises to care for Cosette. And throughout all of this time, Valjean, who represents grace, is being hunted by Inspector Javert. Remember I said I love the villain? And if I could sing, I can sing passably. I can't sing super well. I can carry a tune roughly. But Inspector Javert, he's an antagonist, but he's not a villain. He's trying to do what's right. The law is the law. Valjean broke his parole. He has to go back to jail. Javert has spent his entire life upholding the law. And now he has the opportunity. He finds Valjean because Valjean goes and demands that Javert release Fantine. She's actually going to be arrested for prostitution, even though she was actually the victim of an attack. And Javert won't have any of this. And, you know, she protests to him, of her daughter, if I go to jail, she'll die. And Javert just looks at her and says,
I have heard these protestations every day for 20 years. Let's have no more hesitation. Save your breath and save your tears. Honest work, just reward. That's the way to please the Lord. And so he's the law. Just follow the law already. But Valjean represents grace and saves Fantine. She ends up dying. She doesn't go to jail. But he learns about Cosette and goes to take Cosette into his care. And Javert sees Valjean save a man from a runaway cart, and he lifts it with tremendous strength. And then Javert starts to put all the pieces together, and he tells Valjean, he doesn't want to accuse this wealthy factory owner of a crime he didn't commit. He says, "Forgive me, sir, I would not dare. Do what you must. Don't leave it there." He says, "I have only known one other who can do what you have done. He's a convict from the chain gang. Spent 10 years on the run, but he couldn't run forever. We have found his hideaway." And so they're saying they found someone they think is Valjean, but is not. So Valjean turns himself in, eludes the authorities. He goes to Fantine. Fantine is dying, and he promises her he will take care of her daughter. And then after Fantine dies, Javert shows up for the confrontation, where law and grace meet one another. The law says Valjean must be arrested. Grace says he should be let go for just a little while to make sure Cosette will be taken care of. He just needs 3 days for her to live, and Javert will hear none of it. And then they have this confrontation, which is portrayed wonderfully in the 10th anniversary concert edition of Les Mis. So my favorite musical is Les Mis. My favorite version of Les Mis is the 10th anniversary edition. Philip Quast is Javert. That is Javert to me. That will always be Javert. So here's their confrontation.
Valjean, at last, we see each other plain. Monsieur le Maire, you'll wear a different chain.
Before you say another word, Javert, before you chain me up like a slave again, listen to me, there is something I must do. This woman leaves behind a suffering child. There is none but me who can intercede. In mercy's name, 3 days have all I need. Then I'll return. I pledge my word. Then I'll return.
You must think me mad. I've hunted you across the years. Men like you can never change. A man such as you.
And then they start to go into singing at the same time in counterpoint. And if you haven't heard the musical before, it's easy to get lost. Les Mis does this a lot, where they'll have characters singing simultaneously. I'll give another example of that right after this. So I want to read you through the lyrics, because in this short time span of just a few seconds, you deeply look into the characters. And remember that motif. Valjean is grace and Javert is law. And the two cannot live in the same world. I'm not going to spoil what happens later. If you've never seen Les Mis before, go and watch Les Mis if you haven't seen it before. So this is what Valjean sings. He says, "Believe." So listen, I'll play it, but it's simultaneous. If you haven't heard it before, I want you to have these lyrics in your mind. Valjean is saying this: "Believe of me what you will. There is a duty that I'm sworn to do. You know nothing of my life. All I did was steal some bread. You know nothing of the world. You would sooner see me dead, but not before I see this justice done. I am warning you, Javert. I'm a stronger man by far. There is power in me yet. My race is not yet run." Though I love when Valjean sings it, "Run." Just like how Javert at the beginning says, "You'll wear a different chain." He does a wonderful baritone there. "I am warning you, Javert. There is nothing I won't dare. If I have to kill you here, I'll do what must be done." And so Valjean is just trying to do the right thing, what is right, even if the law won't let him. And Javert won't have none of it. Javert then sings at the same time, "Men like me can never change. Men like you can never change. No, 24601, that's his prisoner number, and that's how Javert always sees him. My duty's to the law. You have no rights. Come with me, 24601. It's hard for me to read this without slipping into the song. I love the number one comment under here is in bold: aggressively tries to sing both parts at once. That any musical theater buff who knows this, you always want to sing both parts. And it's like, I wish I just had a partner who knew this song and I could just break into it with them. Now the wheel has turned around. Jean Valjean is nothing now. Then here's the part where we get a glimpse into Javert's character to understand him. Dare you talk to me of crime and the price you had to pay? Every man is born in sin. Every man must choose his way. So remember the law. We've been condemned by the law. Follow the law for your salvation. You know nothing of Javert. I was born inside a jail. I was born with scum like you. I am from the gutter too. So Javert, you know, he's saying, I don't need to hear this from all these criminals. I was born with you, but I made the right choices, and you should be punished for making the wrong choices. Because, as Judge Dredd would say, I'm the law. That's a wonderful Sylvester Stallone film. So now that you've heard that, now I want to play a keeping, you know, even re-listen to that if you need to know what they're both saying. When they sing it in counterpoint together, it's just awesome.
But leave of me, what you will, change. The risk men you take, like that I'm sworn to do. Change. No. You know nothing
two,
of my
four,
life.
Six, oh, one.
Well, I did steal some
my
bread.
Duties to
you know
the
nothing
law.
Of the
you
world.
Have no rights. Come
you
with me, two, four, six, oh, one.
Now but not before I see this justice done.
Jean Valjean is nothing now.
I am warning you, Javert. I am a stronger man by far. There is power in me yet. My race has not yet run.
You know nothing, you Javert.
I was born inside a jail. If I have to kill you, and do what must be done.
And then there ends up being a fight, and then Valjean is able to escape. And I don't want to spoil it, because then there's a reversal of this very event. There is kind of an anti-confrontation with the same elements later on in the film that has dramatic consequences. I don't want to spoil it. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch Les Mis. You can watch, I'll link to the 10th anniversary concert edition under the YouTube video description for you to watch, because it's my favorite. The 25th anniversary is good too. The film adaptation, Russell Crowe. He's just not. He looks like Javert. He doesn't sing like Javert. It's unfortunate. And so it's just so powerful. And Les Mis has just so many powerful elements to it. My other favorite element, obviously, the finale is like get your tissues out. You'll just be crying everywhere. It's just so beautiful. I don't want to talk about the finale because that'll spoil too much stuff if you haven't seen it. But the semi-finale, the last song before the intermission of Act One, One Day More, has the classic Les Mis elements of people singing simultaneously, that at this point, Cosette has grown up and she's betrothed, so to speak. She's in a relationship with this man named Marius, but Valjean's trying to flee so he doesn't get arrested again. Marius is going to join a bunch of other students who are going to take part in a rebellion against the aristocrats because the poor have been exploited. And Javert is going to infiltrate the students to try to undermine them, working on behalf of the police. And everyone is singing about everything they're doing at once, coming together. I will join these little schoolboys. He's going to infiltrate them as a secret agent of the police. They will wet themselves with blood. Then the Thénardiers are singing just about how they're going to go through and just pick the pockets of all the dead bodies in this fight. And then Marius goes and says, yes, I will fight. So it's all coming together.
My place is here. I fight with you.
One day more.
And then we've got all of them at once. Get it right. Do it. Yes. That is why I did musical theater. I don't have to be in the front. If I can just be in the chorus, wearing the Les Miserables t-shirt, singing along, being a part of this magnificent thing, that is why, when I could do numbers like that, why I did musical theater. To even be a small part of that is something really special. And it was really special to be able to share this with all of you. I hope you enjoyed that. Definitely leave a comment on the YouTube channel what your favorite musical is. And be sure to share this, click subscribe, leave a review at iTunes, Google Play. It was a real treat to be able to go through this with you all, and would love, maybe I'll cover some other favorite musical elements, productions. We'll have to revisit this topic again. So thank you all so much, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.